In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. What's the first date you put on your calendar for the year? Maybe it's your birthday, or that of a loved one. Maybe it's your wedding anniversary. Maybe it's your vacation. Well, the first saint the Armenian Church puts on the calendar after the 50 days of Easter is the prophet Elijah, whose feast we are celebrating today, Yeriah. And Elijah holds a special place in the Old Testament and in the Armenian Church calendar, and today we will find out why. How Elijah was the last man standing in dark times and became the first among saints and harbinger of new light and life. Let's start with his name, because that says it all. Elijah means the Lord is my God. So a name, one word, which is an entire creed, a havatamk, an entire vocation. From the moment Elijah entered the pages of Scripture, through thick and thin, Elijah points his entire being to the presence of God. All who heed and follow his unfailing witness, even when God seems absent, even unto this day, we are lavished with the hidden graces of God, which comes thereafter. But grace is not easily found. Elijah lived in very dark times. King Ahab and his infamous wife Jezebel, who you may have heard of, misled God's people into slavery and self-destruction by worshiping things like God that were not God, idolatry. And the people became divided and despairing, and their very existence felt like it was at stake. And in this crisis of despair, Elijah was the last man standing. The man whose very name, the Lord is my God, demanded that he fight the good fight. And so Elijah did fight. And he had great victories in defending God and all that is good. On one occasion, he miraculously and publicly embarrasses the false prophets of Baal and wins a great victory. But he also has great defeats. And just after this, Jezebel puts a price on his head and uses the full power of the crown to hunt and kill this enemy of the state. And so Elijah flees into the desert, and exhausted and terrified, he collapses under a tree and he prays, "I can't fight anymore, Lord. Take my life. I can't lead us to be what you've called us to be." Miraculously, he gets up again, and 40 days and nights, he wanders through the desert. Sound familiar? And he gets to Sinai, the mountain of God, where the very place where Moses received the law, and there in a cave, Elijah finally hears God's voice again. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" The prophet cries out in response, "Hiding from them and looking for you." So Elijah doesn't quit. He's persistent in his life of faith. It's written that he looks for God everywhere, in the wind, just like when God parted the Red Sea for Moses, in the earthquake, just like when God gave the commandments on Mount Sinai and shook the mountain, in the fire, just like when God lit a pillar of fire to show the people to the promised land. But God was not in the wind, he was not in the earthquake, he was not in the fire, only silence. But in that silence, eventually, is where Elijah finds God, and God finds Elijah. Letting go of what he used to know, Elijah becomes attuned to the still small voice of God, as it's written in Scripture. Elijah shows us faith is not really faith until the darkness comes, until we begin to hear God after a long silence. Because faith requires patience, to hang in there when all seems wrong and God seems absent. Faith is fighting the good fight, but even when we feel we are the only ones, faith is keeping our spiritual eyes and ears open to discern God's presence in the most unexpected ways, not in sounds, not in action, but in silence. Not as of old, but as of now. And so in a word, God's silence, as we've said many times, is not a rejection, it's a redirection. And it helps break down the wall of our own will to trust the will of God. It helps break down the wall of self-reliance to rely and trust also on others. Elijah emerges with a new relationship to God, and also he gets the gift of a new companion, Elisha, who God provides to share Elijah's burdens and finish his unfinished work. So we learn that no matter what we've been through, we're never meant to walk this road alone. We journey together then as now with brothers and sisters of our Father in heaven. And so, coming to the end, not surprisingly, like Elijah's life, the end of his life is also unique. Elijah does not die a natural death. Scripture tells us that he was taken up in a chariot of fire, translated alive into the presence of God. Even death does not silence the prophecy of his very name, "The Lord is my God." And that prophecy would prepare a way for the Messiah. The Lord is my God, Jesus Christ, and predict his glorious resurrection. And that's why Elijah stands as the gatekeeper to the resurrected Lord, as the saint, first saint, after Easter. He shows the way to life after death, to Christ, which is why we call on Elijah whenever we do a requiem service, a hokey honkiest, as we will soon do today, because he's our intercessor to show the way to God in this life and the fullness of the age to come. And he's an abiding reminder to all of us to fight the good fight of faith which is before us. And when we do and find that the trials of the world knock us down for the count, and where God seems silent, that is just when we lean in closer to God and faithful friends so that we can listen carefully to our lives. And then we find grace, and it finds us. Like an eternal flame, a cool breeze, an echoing voice of thunder over all of God's creation, now and always, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.